Welcome to episode 48 of Published. Today I'll speak with Judy Haller, author of Fear is My Homeboy. We'll be talking about how to build and activate your platform as an author and what it takes to maintain book sales beyond your initial launch.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. In this episode, we'll hear from speaker, author, and certified fear boss, Judy Haller, about her journey to becoming a best-selling author and speaker. Judy shares how she built her successful brand and platform, and how she cultivated a loyal and engaged following and readership. All right, Judy, welcome to Published.
Oh, it's so good to be here and so amazing to actually say I'm officially published. So it's incredible to be here.
Absolutely. So to start, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
So I am an author, a keynote speaker, and a creative entrepreneur who is sort of on this mission to help people, teams, and companies vibe and thrive. So the way we do that is we use the improv theater, that's my background, the improv theater mindset to really activate discomfort and joy simultaneously to inspire a collective breakthrough moment. So I write books and speak and create content daily and teach courses really with that goal in mind.
And what a fantastic thing to work on with authors, especially because one of the things I hear over and over from people who feel they have a book in them is they have that fear of, they don't even know exactly where it's coming from sometimes, but there is a fear of putting yourself out there. So I can see a tangent here for sure.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned in your book that you don't consider yourself a, quote, typical author. What do you mean by that?
Okay, let me explain. Well, here's the deal, like a little background. I read loosely growing up. Like I was never really the kid who would get like lost in books and school was tough for me, you know? So reading really at that time growing up felt more like homework versus a good time. And I never really grew up dreaming about writing books. I never dreamt of being a bestseller or getting published or making a list or being in Barnes and Noble. And honestly, kind of back to your point, for the longest time, I never put myself in that category because I didn't feel worthy of it, right? Of that title. I didn't feel smart enough. And yeah, hello, limiting beliefs and imposter syndrome, which is really, and ironically, what so much of my work is all about these days. But yeah, I just sort of never felt like smart enough or worthy or ready. And all of that really transformed for me in my 30s when I started actively reading, and I mean actively choosing to read on purpose to grow and change and evolve, and most importantly, start the business that had been on my heart for a really long time, which was to speak professionally for a living. And so once I started doing that, speaking, and once I realized that my other speaker friends all had books, and I knew that having a book, because they were all telling me so, that a book would really take my business and my brand and my contacts to the next level and my content to the next level. That was when I knew I had to start thinking differently about myself and really changing my mindset around, I'm not worthy, I'm not ready, to I am worthy and I am more than enough. And I am most certainly deserving of authorship status. So I kind of did it in reverse. I knew I needed a book to market myself and my business instead of sort of writing a book and then building a platform. So I built my platform, wrote a book, and then writing that book blew up my platform. So that's kind of my trajectory.
Mm-hmm. And can you be specific there? How has publishing Fear is My Homeboy impacted your brand?
Well, I mean, it's been incredible. It's like the best and prettiest and most awesome business card I've ever had in my entire life. It has helped so many people find me that would have never had access to me or my work. And honestly, it gives my work and my content a little bit more street cred, you know, to have this beautifully published and really smart book. But my favorite part, Tanya, really is the impact that we've been able to make as we've built a community alongside these ideas. So for a little context, when my book first came out, and for all new authors, budding authors reading this, you're going to love this. And we'll dig into this in a little bit. But, you know, when my book first came out, I had 2,800 to 3,000 followers on, example, Instagram. And right now, my book will be 2 years in May. It's not even been 2 years. I have 22,000 followers and we're growing every single day. Mm-hmm. And so this example tactically is also why it's been one of my best business cards. And we can get into the tactics there, but it's why you also have to remove the fear of not being ready or that you need some sort of like huge following to get started. Because you don't. You just need to be brave enough to start. You have to be brave enough to suck. You have to be brave enough to get it wrong so you can get closer to getting it right. And then last point here, as it relates to impact, the ideas in the book I wrote with you and your incredible company, is really a book designed to help people get out of their way and start living a brave life, right? So as an author, it's just awesome to watch your book be photographed and used as a tool to help people amplify the quality of their lives and actually make lasting change. So that impact has been incredible, but I also wanted to make the point that you don't have to have a million followers at the beginning to be really successful with your book.
I totally agree. And you know, you mentioned the impact. I can speak as an author myself to say, it really never gets old, does it? When someone reaches out to you on LinkedIn and says, your book hit me at the right time, thank you for giving me some help in this thing I've been struggling with. It just, I can't express how powerful that is.
Yes. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that you took this sort of reverse approach and you built your author brand and platform before you published the book. And how did you approach that?
Yeah. So, well, I would kind of chunk it into three big categories. Number one, I showed up every single day. I think when you're building and maintaining a brand or an author platform, consistency is so important. Yes, content is incredible too. We want to be creating shareable, savable content, but we've got to show up. We've got to have a plan. So I showed up every day. Number two, I wasn't afraid to promote myself and talk about it and bring my community along for the journey. I mean, I was posting the year before the book came out, all the behind the scenes activities of writing and submitting chapters and being nervous and getting stuck on an idea. And so by the time my book came out, a lot of my community had sort of been along the journey with me, and they sort of felt like they were a part of it. So really bringing them into the fold and not being afraid to talk about it and to share the book before I was sharing the book before we even publicly had a title or a cover design. And I remember when we approved the cover and when we approved the subtitle and when we approved the design, I was revealing all of that step by step. Like as I was learning, I was sharing with them. And so it really created sort of this intimate experience. So when it came out, they felt a part of it. And then last but not least, I mean, I'm a keynote speaker primarily in my business, and I really was able to use my speaking business to gain credibility and grow reach. So being on stage to audiences all over the world really helped me get my word out and sell books and most certainly make waves.
And the author platform is something I feel like we're always beating on that drum, certainly yeah. with our authors, and just trying to underscore the importance of not just building it, but then maintaining it. So you have that, as you said, community around you. How has your author platform been important to the success of your book?
I think it's been an important and really fun part of the journey. I mean, building a platform, because it involves social media, can certainly be frustrating at times, and it can open the door of imposter syndrome and comparison and jealousy. And you can go down these rabbit holes and start thinking, oh my God, I've got this great idea. Look at how cool my book is. And it's making such change in the world. And then you see somebody else's book or somebody else's manuscript, or they're doing this and they've got this agent, they're working on this deal. And oh my gosh, all my ideas are crap. And what am I doing? I'm just going to crawl in a hole and hide. Right. So you have to really, more than anything, protect your mental health, which I call mental wealth, right? Because you'll never find success. And whatever true wealth looks like for you, whatever that looks like for you, whether that's your health, a safe family environment, a safe home environment, healthy, successful, thriving kids, it's going to look different for everyone. But we will never find success if we don't have mental wealth, strong mental wealth. So building a platform has kind of been a two-prong approach for me. Number one, it's showing up and doing the work and putting a plan together. And we can dig into some of the tactics here on how am I going to show up and what is the story I want to tell and who do I want to be for the reader today and what content can I create that's shareable and savable while making sure that I also keep my eyes on my own paper and I protect my sanity along the way, because it can be really easy to open the door to comparison and imposter syndrome. So for me, it's a two-prong approach. It's certainly important to be out there and to be engaging and collaborating and sharing your book and talking about what you're doing, but we also have to set boundaries with that, or else we could end up in pretty dangerous mental spaces and places.
Yeah, beautifully said. And you mentioned the exponential growth of your Instagram account as an example of your social media. I know it's not limited to your Instagram, but you've obviously done that very well. Can you give us some insight on how you view social media specifically to connect with this community you've built?
Yeah, cool. So I touched on it a little bit earlier. Let's go deeper. Number one, consistency, right? And really showing up and having a plan. And I've really grown my platform organically. I have never bought a follower and I don't run many ads. We did run a couple of ads. I'm not running any right now, and they just changed a bunch of stuff. So it's so hard to keep up with all of the things on social media, certainly when you run a business. But I have had a couple of ads when my book was early days, when my book was in the airports, and I, you know, my last name's Holler, H-O-L-L-E-R. And a very famous woman in the personal development category who has similar readership to mine has a last name called Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S. So my book beautifully and luckily and however you want to look at it was always, in most cases, buy her book a lot of the time. And so I'd get photos of it sent to me from my friends and people traveling and clients and shares on DMs. So I took a couple of my favorites and I boosted them and then told the story of the book, you know, and if you like this book, you'll love this book and here's why. And those ads did really well. But other than that, you know, it was showing up consistently and really growing organically. So I share that story. If you're listening, you got to get creative, right? Find a way to get creative, because it's really up to you to market your book, and people don't realize that. Like, you have to do the work. So number one, consistency is everything, and showing up to do the work and really getting creative. And then number two, not being afraid to be bad at things, not being afraid to suck and try new things out, and most certainly not being afraid to start small. You know, I really made a choice to show up as myself online. And some days I'm made up and, you know, it's right before a keynote, and some days I'm not. You know, some days I'm posting a fancy photo of me where I got photographed in a bright pink suit and I feel beautiful. And then some days it's a selfie of me, like right after a workout. So I'm always trying to think of, like, am I creating this to say, aha, look at me and look how amazing I am? Or am I creating this piece of content to say, here's what you can learn from me? You know, there's a big difference between a post of me on stage, like getting a standing ovation or with an audience, saying, oh my God, another standing ovation. How amazing was that? Versus a photo of me on stage with said same audience or standing ovation saying, do you get nervous to speak in public? Yeah, Me too. Here's three things I do to calm my nerves, right? Mm-hmm. That's a different approach. And that is how I've been able to pick up traction through relatable storytelling and really thinking about shareable, teachable content. So those are two ideas. And I think the third one, Tanya, would just really being, when we think about growing an author platform, I mean, connecting with other aligned influencers, guesting on podcasts, doing Instagram TVs, sharing content across platforms and like collaborating with those influencers and really using the power of the collective to gain traction. So really finding aligned and sort of mutually beneficial partnerships is a smart way to think about your marketing.
Yeah, great advice. And what a serendipitous coincidence with those last names, huh?
Can you even? What a cool story. Yeah. And you know, every now and then I'm moving my book around, but let's be honest, when I got a few of those photos, I was like, oh yes, how can you not? So I love the serendipity of it.
That's great. You mentioned starting small. You have to start somewhere. So I think people, again, get just sort of some sort of paralysis analysis and sort of yes. shut down when they're like, I don't know which social media platform. I don't know how to approach it. When do I post? What do I post? Do you have any advice for the authors who are listening today who have a smaller platform and are looking to grow them? Like what's your best advice there?
Oh my gosh, I have all the advice because I was you. I've been there and I'm still growing and building and trying to figure it out. So number one, pick your favorite and start there. Because if you hate it and you don't have fun doing it, you won't do it. Like, I'm not a tweeter. I like the twits and the tweets at conferences, but I'm not a tweeter and I can't motivate myself to show up there, right? And some people kill it there and it can be incredible. But for me, I could not motivate myself to do it. Instagram has been and will be my place for as long as it is until the next thing sort of arrives. But I love the storytelling. I love how visual. I love that it takes a lot of the elements that excite me creatively and content-wise. And I love how it connects me with so many incredible people. So pick your favorite platform and start there because you cannot do it all. Once you get one down, then bring on another one and start to play in Clubhouse or to build a Facebook page. But start with your favorite and begin somewhere. Number two, every Sunday, I sit down and I map out my strategy for the week. I put a plan behind how I'm showing up online. So consistency is key. So pick a weekly theme that aligns with your book content or the chapters of your book and be thoughtful about your content, but spend time every week really thinking about, okay, am I going to go live on Wednesday? And maybe I'll post a couple of reels sharing some ideas on anxiety. And, you know, our theme this week is being the CEO of you. So I am going to interview so-and-so, or I'm going to post three quotes that align with this content from that chapter of my book. So I think through it and I put through the work every Sunday to really think about what I want to do that week. Now, if you're a speaker like myself, run contests from the stage. So whether it's virtually or in a room, I was doing this all the time and I still do it. So I will, in a keynote, reward people for showing up on Instagram and tagging me in fun boomerangs and photos and selfies with their book. And I pick my favorites after the talk and I send them signed copies of my book. So I pick two or three. So it gets people posting about you, sharing your work, sharing your book. You're going to pick up some followers and you're going to get awesome photos of yourself on stage doing what you love. So this was a creative way that I built followers and also, was able to get some street cred because people started talking about my book. And then last, of course, I'll reiterate the power of doing what we're doing now, right? Getting on podcasts, building a community with other influencers, be on the hunt. Remember, social media is meant to be social. And all of the platforms reward you for doing that. You cannot really post and ghost. If you post and ghost, you're not being social on social media. So remember, show up, engage, meet people, talk to people, comment more than just a thumbs up, engage, be thoughtful, spend 30 minutes a day doing this, and you will reap the benefits.
I love post and ghost. I haven't heard that's great.
I just made that one up. I'm going to write that down.
You should. Okay, let's talk about book sales. I think most authors see this sort of, if we were to chart it out, put it on a graph, you would see this trajectory where you've got the surge of book sales around the launch, and then it starts to sort of taper off, and then it just sort of flatlines, and they throw up their hands and they say, okay, well, I guess that's that. But you have actually done a very nice job maintaining this consistent sales level and ongoing success with your book sales. So can you speak to how you've accomplished that?
Thank you. So number one, C said strategies I just talked about, you know, constantly showing up, collaborating, giving books away, speaking on stages, all of that has helped me keep the momentum strong. Plus, I really love my book and I believe in the work. So I never really look at sharing it as a point of bragging. I see it as a service versus a sale. Like, if you don't know the information in this book, your life is not going to be as awesome as it could be. So it sort of moves me mentally. Remember, our mental health is so important as we think about doing anything big in life. So this mental shift sort of moves me from sales. Oh God, here I am, like, awkwardly selling, to a place of service, which is helping me constantly thinking about creating ways to be creative as I promote and talk about my work. I'm always thinking about, like, is this shareable? Is this savable? Plus, Tanya, you have an incredible design team. And while I was very passionate about what I wanted the book to look like, your team brought it to life. And I have to say, I have a really good looking book. And I did that on purpose. You know, we wanted this hot pink, bright design so that people would want Hello Marketing. We want people to photograph it. We want I wanted the title to shake people, to catch their attention. It's unconventional on purpose. It's colorful and fuchsia on purpose. And it makes our readers who love the ideas want to share and post about it, because every time they do that, they're not saying something about me. They're saying something about themselves. And so think about that when you design your book, when you title your book, when you market your book, because every time a reader shares my book on social, it's free marketing. So I'm always thinking about creating savable, shareable content, because it's a great way to scale fast. And we really wanted to create and build a book that was going to be fun to photograph. And then, of course, they'd read it and learn a lot. And it's so smart. And the curriculum is important, but it's a pretty book. And that was on purpose.
And let's talk about that design process, because yes, we do have an amazing design team here. We are all design snobs at Greenleaf Book Group.
Yes. Yes, I love that.
So, but your whole brand and platform is very well designed and cohesive, right? So I think that's an important thing for authors to remember, is you need this consistency across all of these platforms, and you do such a great job at drawing people in. So how did you decide on some of those elements, such as this hot pink that I know people can't see at the moment, but I strongly encourage them to pop over to Amazon, because it is definitely a popping book cover.
Yes, yes. Okay, so fuchsia has always sort of been my power color, and I knew and was really crystal clear that I wanted a hot pink book. And we worked back and forth to find the perfect pink, right? Sending examples and all kinds of great stuff, because I knew it would be a smart marketing decision and that it would also make me happy every time I looked at it and saw a post. And then we put one word of the title, Homeboy, in like gold foil in the Northwell font. So it's got this like gold foil that shimmers across the cover. And that was just a massive bonus. So from the color to the gold foil to the Northwell font, it was all deeply intentional, because I wanted to have and make a creative statement that felt aligned to who I was as a human being, to the energy that I bring to a conversation, to a stage, to an interaction with any reader, and also that would photograph beautifully and be something that's fun to share on Instagram specifically, but across all social media. So it was very intentional, and that color, you know, really was you know, a color of power for me. So I just leaned into it.
And another thing that's unique about your book, you have some very strong calls to action for your readers, which we both know is very important to getting the readers to engage beyond the book. But what are the other elements that lend to that? How do you bring those folks into your community from the book?
Oh, such a good one. So, you know, being intentional about having places to engage with your readers online and like, what happens next? So I've just read this book and now I'm different. A part of me is activated and I want more. And sure, I can go follow you on social media and all that's included in the book, right? You should be thinking about having a page on here's where we can go next. You can hire me to coach. You can hire me to speak. You can take my course. Oh, did you know we have a reader's guide? Or, oh my gosh, here's how you can use this in book clubs. So, you know, we included a lot of that. We actually just made an update to the reprint we did with you to make sure that's all up to date as things change in our world. But, you know, just making sure that you have places for them to go when they get done with this work. So where are you at on social? Do you have a private Facebook group? Do you have a course that aligns with your book or teach a live class or a page they can go to for downloadable PDFs and screensavers? Of course, keynotes, right? Really building a keynote that aligned with the core idea, the keynote in my book, and workbooks and study guides. So, you know, you're not just writing a book. So many people, and Tanya, I don't know if you come up against this a lot with new authors and even some tenured authors, you know, you don't just write the book and ghost either, right? If you really want to be successful and continue to sell books and do incredible things with the platform you've been given, you have to be intentional about it, right? And what you work on works. And so, you know, the life cycle of your reader, you want that to continue. I don't want them to put down Fear is My Homeboy and go away. I want them to put down Fear is My Homeboy and pick up what comes next. And I want to make sure that they have tools and resources to keep going. So your job as an author is, of course, to move through the book and to market it and to build a community and get it out there, but also to think about what comes next. And when they get done reading, do I have an ecosystem of products that can really help my reader go even further? And that's important to think about.
Great advice. And you bring up a very important point there with the whole don't write and ghost either, because frankly, I experienced this when I wrote my book. And after doing this for 17 years, I should know better. But there's this type of magical thinking you can fall into when you do anything that's that hard, right? I've been taught your whole life. You work so hard on this thing and you finished it and now sit back and good things will happen. And we know that just listening to you, clearly that's not the case.
Yeah.
But I think even experienced authors can fall into that trap.
Oh yeah. And Tanya, it's like the work, your book, great. Happy book birthday. It's book launch day. Woohoo. Your work has just begun, right? You're now getting to work. And that's the one thing I get to talk to so many authors who are specifically interested in Greenleaf, which is always such an honor and so cool. And the one thing I'm always telling them is be thinking about your marketing now, because you can't expect a publisher, an agent, anyone to wave a magic wand and make your book a best-selling book. It's up to you. So be thinking about your marketing runway leading up to the book launch, you know, the whole birth of the book when it comes out. And then what's that 3 to 6 year plan after the book and beyond? Because it is a life cycle and it is up to you. I mean, writing a book is not for the faint of heart. And this is why not everybody does it and not everybody can do it, because and the people who really do it and the ones who are really successful are the ones who think about the life cycle of the book and take it very seriously and realize their work is only just beginning. So that's my biggest piece of advice. Like, take your marketing and your plan around marketing your book just as seriously as you take the developmental content and working with your editors and the research and the writing, because you've got these beautiful ideas. You've spent however many years, your whole life preparing for this moment. Are your job is to get it out into the world. What a shame it would be for it to collect dust in the back of Barnes and Noble. Let's bring that baby out into the world and remind the world why it's important. And we should not feel guilty about that. We should not feel ashamed of that, because if you don't do it, no one else will.
Mm-hmm. Another good point. Sometimes authors say, I don't want it to be all about me, but it is all about you if you're the author.
Yeah. And it's making it, this is why it goes back to like service versus sales. So, okay, great. I've got this book, but oh, not look at me and how amazing I am with my book. Here's how this book is going to change the way you lead. This is how the book is going to help you parent your teenagers differently. Here's how this book is going to help you start a business and leave a toxic relationship or quit a bad habit. So spinning the ideas into your book, it around the transformations that will happen after someone's been a beneficiary to your amazingness is how you sell without selling. And you quickly make it about them and not you. And that's the way I've been able to do it.
Yeah, fantastic. So you're obviously a wellspring of creative energy. What other projects are you working on right now?
Oh, we're always up to something. So I have a new planner, which is exciting. And so we're building content around that idea, working on a new keynote, and of course, a course to support that curriculum. So, you know, that's kind of my baby right now. It's called Vibe and Thrive. And we're really excited about that. And just, I'm doing a lot of listening. I another thing I really recommend is I work with strategic business coaches annually. And I just got done working with my most recent coach, and we spent 3 days in Palm Springs in the desert, really digging into the brand and where we're going next. And so that's exciting, an exciting place for me to be, to really take some time away from the weeds of the business, to really think of who I am in the business and what the future looks like. So we've got some things that we're kicking around, but definitely be, my goodness, working with coaches and having mentors and someone outside of your head is also really important. So that always kicks me up creatively. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Awesome. Well, you've shared so much great advice with us today, and I'm sure our listeners have been taking furious notes. Any other advice you'd like to share before we sign off?
Post and ghost. That's what you're making. Okay. So don't post and ghost. No, but seriously, I want to remind your listeners to never forget what and who the real enemy is. The real enemy isn't fear, it's comfort. So you have to be brave enough to fail. You have to be brave enough to start small. You have to be brave enough to get it wrong so you can get one step closer to getting it right. And the thing is, fear is actually so boring and so basic because it has one job. All it does every day is one thing. Its only job is to stop you. It wakes up every day to try and stop you. So knowing this is power, because it means that if fear's job is to stop you, your job is to move. That's the anecdote, action. So if you're listening to this right now and you do not feel ready or worthy or smart enough to bring your ideas, your stories into the world in the form of a book with Greenleaf, I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. I don't believe that there's any coincidence in life. And if you're listening to this right now, take this as the sign you've been waiting for. It's time to get uncomfortable. It's time to embrace fear, and it's time to start trusting yourself.
Amazing, Judy. And if you're listening to this and you're inspired, pick up her book, Fear is My Homeboy. Judy, thank you so much for joining us on Published. It's really been fantastic to have you.
Thanks, Tanya. So fun.
That wraps up our episode today with Judy. We hope you enjoyed learning about author branding and platform building and how it impacts an author's success. For notes and resources from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode48. You can also find advice for writing, publishing, and promoting your work in my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, which you can learn more about at ideasinfluenceandincome.com. If you've enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It means a lot to have your feedback and certainly helps us make sure that we're answering your publishing questions. A big thank you to Eleanor Fishborn, who produces the Published podcast, and we'll be back next month with another new episode.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.